Let's pray. Father, this morning, we as residents, guests, inhabitants of Horsetown, USA, wish to study sheep. More importantly, God, we want to see the shepherd, the good shepherd who has given his life for the sheep. And because he loves the sheep so much, he does not leave the sheep unattended, but provides for his flock under shepherds. Help us to be able to today listen to the teaching, to discern not the man, not the woman, but to see Jesus Christ, a reflection of him in all of the leaders that you have given us as gifts. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. My PowerPoint slide, they'll be bringing that thing up here in just a moment. This morning we are going to be completing our series that we started, Shepherds, Sheep, and Horsetown. Now, it may not be politically correct to speak about sheep in Norco. In fact, this morning as Julie and I were driving in, we didn't see any sheep in the streets of Norco. But boy, did we see horses this morning. Julie says it must be that they are going to be taking their people out for, I mean, the horses out for the cool of the morning. And there were horses everywhere. And it's something that you don't see. We certainly don't see that over on the other side of the hill at La Sierra. We don't see that anywhere else. But it's unique here. So let's just, in our minds, talk about horses and sheep. Are they the same? You know, there's sheep and goats. There's cattle and horses. I'm going to let you pop ourselves up here. But do you usually see horses and sheep together? And I've seen some heads shaking. No, not really. And there's a reason for this. You see, horses are picky eaters. Horses like certain things. Sheep, are sheep picky eaters? No. Sheep are not picky eaters. In fact, if you'll remember your U.S. history, as we are coming across from the east to the west, there's the big fight between herds of cattlemen and the herds of the sheep. Sheep go down and eat everything. They just to the ground. And then some, and they trot it all over. There's nothing left. A sheep only cares about himself or herself. Cattle are much more selective. Horses are the most selective of all. They're very picky. They will eat things. So usually, you don't see horses and sheep together. I'm still not getting a picture there. Wonder why. I'm not going to get it today. Well, before we talk about the sheep, we need to talk about the shepherd. And so just quickly for review, we talked about in John 10, the good shepherd. Jesus said that I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. John gives this wonderful description of Jesus, the good shepherd. What does a shepherd do? Shepherds are kind, they're loving, they're gentle, they are resourceful, they are protective. And in fact, Jesus shows the greatest attribute of the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. John 10:11 says, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Had a picture up here with sheep. And if you look closely at the picture, you would have been asked, what do you see? Are all sheep the same? And the answer is no. Sheep are different. And there was a picture of 8 different kinds of sheep, just their faces. You don't see the rest of their bodies, but you would automatically know the difference. We talked about sheep being different. Some are white. Some are brown. Some are a mixture of colors. Some are elegant and sophisticated. Some are old. Some are also not so young. And some don't look like sheep at all. Some are a little bit different than the norm. We showed you a picture of a sheep that, remember, had 5 legs? It was a little different than the normal sheep. And then there's some other sheep, they don't seem to fit the mold at all. They're different than the others, but they are still sheep. And amazingly, there are sheep then that have characteristics of all. They're a blend. They're spotted sheep with all different kind of colors. There are sheep that come in different sizes with different customs, different quirks. Remember I showed you that sheep, that great big huge sheep. You couldn't tell it was a sheep. All you could see was the wool. It was so in need of being, having its hair, its wool cut and groomed. You couldn't even see it. You saw the nostrils and that's all you saw. And then we had some sheep even claim to be more perfect than other sheep. And we had a friend that we showed you, that sheep that sold for $200,000. It's a very special sheep. We asked you a couple of questions about sheep. If sheep aren't directed to suitable pasture and water, what will they do? Will they A, order Chinese carryout? Will they B, look it up on Google Earth? Will they C, send around a petition to be given to the shepherd? Or D, will they fail to eat and drink correctly? And we found out when we talked about the sheep, sheep left on their own don't do well. If a sheep is not told where to eat, a sheep will eat the wrong thing, a sheep will die. If a sheep is led to water, and it has not been prepared for that sheep, if it's running water, the sheep won't drink. The sheep likes quiet, still waters. And so the shepherd is the one who provides for that sheep. If a sheep gets separated from its flock, it will, we're good, okay. There we go. Okay. If a sheep gets separated from its flock, it stops and asks for directions. Unless it's a male sheep, of course. B, it finds a wolf, kills it, and eats it. C, it opens its own show in Branson, Missouri. Or D, it most likely will die from predators and exposures. God put sheep in a fold, in a flock. Sheep are not meant to be on their own. Now, when Jesus is talking about my sheep hear my voice, who is he talking about? Is he talking about the 4-legged sheep? Or is he talking about the 2-legged sheep? They got the message right away. Jesus is talking about the 2-legged sheep. Jesus, again, going in metaphors, similes, stories, trying to explain the simple news of the good news of the gospel. The good news is God loves us so much that God wants to explain to us how good he is, how much he loves us. The teachers of the law at this time had made the gospel, the simple news, the good news so complicated, no one could understand it. No one except for the special elite. And Jesus had problems with the special elite. Look closely at this picture. What do you see? Sheep, right? Lots of sheep. But look closer. Now what do you see? There's something there. Some sheep are not what they seem. Some sheep are wolves in sheep's clothing. Jesus, in Matthew 7:15, warned us about wolves. This is in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' most famous sermon. He warns us about sheep who aren't sheep at all. He calls them ravenous wolves. They are disguised as sheep. And their purpose? Their purpose is to lead the sheep astray, to prevent the sheep from maintaining their mission in life. What is the mission of a sheep? Sheep follow the shepherd. That's all that is accounted for or required of a sheep. A sheep is to follow the shepherd. The shepherd takes care of the sheep. So what is a shepherd? A noun. It's a person who herds, who tends or guards sheep, a person who protects, guides, watches over a group of people, a member of the clergy, the shepherd with a capital S, not the under-shepherd, the shepherd himself, Jesus Christ. This morning in your bulletin, I had you look at the sermon title, would you? Now, for the English majors, I hope that you immediately saw the sermon title and said, we found an error. The rest of you, look at the sermon title. Whom will I follow? Is that a true or a false shepherd? It's one of those English rules, the English teachers. You don't say, if it's a specific person that you are following, that you are addressing, then it becomes a who. But for many times, and you hear people will say, especially sophisticated people. I have a very wonderful colleague who is British. One of his favorite words are whom. And he uses whom, and it sounds so much more sophisticated, so much more correct. But it's not correct. It's who. For the next 100 days, we are going to be deluged with appeals, advertisements, debates, mailings, commentary, interviews, gossip, innuendos, talk radio chatter, trying to sway us to make a decision about who our country is going to politically follow for the next 4 years. Now, here's two fine-looking candidates. They look presidential, don't they? Well, maybe this is their true identity. We don't know. And because of this behavior has led us to consider this. Nobody for president. Start leading yourself. It's okay, you know. Just do what you want to do. But I want to remind you, the saddest text in the entire Bible, it's not Jesus wept. The saddest text is found at the last verse of the book of Judges. It says, every man went out and did what was right in their own eyes because there was no leader over them. God, again, has put us in that kind of flock where Jesus and his church, Jesus again, while we may have differences here in 26th thing, one thing, though, is clear. Jesus is the head of the body. Jesus is the head of the church. Paul reminds us in Galatians, Christ is the head. So what happens when sheep follow sheep? I had a picture here, but I didn't want to show it because I was afraid it might be too graphic, but it's sheep going over the edge of the cliff. They're all in single file. I didn't want to give anybody who counts sheep at night bad memories. So I just found this one. Where are we going? Ask the guy at the back. It's his idea. I'm already lost. I don't know. What happens when sheep follow sheep? They get lost. They scatter. They run off. Where's the shepherd? Look at this flock here. They're all over. Are they protected right now? No. Every sheep is out doing his own thing. His, her own thing. They're all searching. Jesus has a principle. Every believer needs a shepherd. Every believer needs a shepherd. Why? God, I can do it by myself. I have the Bible. I can read everything in it myself. Because we need each other. We need sheep, need each other. Sheep, again, still need shepherd. There are wolves in the church. One of the last books of the New Testament written, John is talking to his little flock. John, this elderly under-shepherd. He says to them, my dear friends, don't believe everything you hear. Carefully weigh and examine what people tell you. Not everyone who talks about God comes from God. There are a lot of lying preachers loose in this world. Here's how you test for the genuine Spirit of God. Everyone who confesses openly his faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came from an actual flesh and blood person, comes from God and belongs to God. And everyone who refuses to confess faith in Jesus has nothing in common with God. This is the spirit of Antichrist that you heard was coming. Well, it's here, sooner than what we thought. My dear children, you come from God and belong to God. You've already won a big victory over those false teachers. For the Spirit of God is in you. It's far stronger than anything in the world. These people, these false teachers, belong to Christ-denying world. They talk the world's language, and the world eats it up. But we come from God and belong to God. And anyone who knows God understands us and listens. The person who has nothing to do with God will, of course, not listen to us. This is another test for telling the spirit of truth from the spirit of deception. Talks about wolves. Beware of these false teachers. Why would a wolf impersonate a shepherd? Because the wolf has found out that the shepherd's clothing works better than his own. Now, most sheep, when they see a wolf, I told you, explained, that they are so afraid, they just freeze up and they'll die. Well, I'm not that kind of sheep. If I recognized a wolf, I'd run. The wolf is far more intelligent than that. The wolf has found, again, that the shepherd's clothing works even better. They even wear ties. They will stoop to no low level to entice and infiltrate the flock. I want you this morning to listen. Hear the difference between false shepherd and good shepherds. We're going to share three passages from Scripture about shepherds. Who has the pen? Yes, first.
The word of the Eternal came to me with a message for Israel's leaders. Son of man, preach against Israel's shepherds. Speak directly to the shepherds and tell them, this is what the Eternal Lord has to say. Woe to the shepherds of Israel whose only concern is to protect and nourish themselves. Isn't a shepherd's job to look after the sheep? Yet you exploit them in every way. You devour their fat and make soft clothes and blankets out of their wool and slaughter the best sheep for your table. Meanwhile, you don't take care of the sheep at all. You have not sought to nurse the weak. You have not gone out to tend to the sick. You have not bandaged the injured. You don't bring back the strays or look for the lost. You have led them with neglect. ruled them with harshness, shepherded them with cruelty. They had no real shepherd, so they have scattered. The entire flock was prey for the wild beasts. My sheep drifted aimlessly through all the mountains and up and down every hill. My flock was scattered all over the world, scattered like the stars in the night sky, and not a single shepherd went looking for them. Now pay attention, shepherds, to my word. As surely as I, the eternal Lord, live, because my sheep are without a shepherd, because they have become prey for all the wild beasts to feed upon, because my shepherds have not gone in search of my sheep, but have only looked out for themselves and not watched after and cared for my flock, I encourage you, shepherds, to listen to the word of the Eternal.
Thus says, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand to put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so I will seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture. On the high mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land. On a rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. For as you, my flock, says the Lord God, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture, and to drink of clear water, that you must muddy the rest of the water with your feet? And must my sheep eat what they have trodden with your feet, and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you push with side and shoulder, and thrust at all the weak with your horns, till you have scattered them abroad. I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep. And I will set up over them one sheep, my servant shepherd, my servant David. And he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken. I will make with them a covenant of peace and banish wild beasts from the land, so that they may dwell securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places all around my hill a blessing, and I will send down the showers in their season. They shall be showers of blessings. And the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield its increase, and they shall be secure in their land. And they shall know that I am the Lord, when I break the bars of their yoke and deliver them from the hand of those who enslave them. They shall no more be a prey to the nations, nor shall the beasts of the land devour them. They shall dwell securely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will provide for them renowned plantations so that they shall no more be consumed with hunger in the land and no longer suffer the reproach of the nations. And they shall know that I am their God with them and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the Lord God. And you, my sheep, human sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, declares the Lord God.
John chapter 10, verses 1 through 5, 7 to 18, and 24 to 29. I tell you the truth. The man who crawls through the fence of the sheep pen rather than walking through the gate is a thief or a vandal. The shepherd walks openly through the entrance. The guard who is posted to protect the sheep opens the gate for the shepherd, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When all the sheep have been gathered, he walks on ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. The sheep would not be willing to follow a stranger. They run because they do not know the voice of a stranger. I tell you the truth. I am the gate of the sheep. All who approached the sheep before me came as thieves and robbers, and the sheep did not listen to their voices. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be liberated, will go in and go out, and will find pastures. The thief approaches with malicious intent, looking to steal, slaughter, and destroy. I came to give life with joy and abundance. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep in his care. The hired hand is not like the shepherd caring for his own sheep. When a wolf attacks, snatching and scattering the sheep, he runs for his life, leaving them defenseless. The hired hand runs because he works only for wages and does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. As the Father knows me, I know the Father. I will give my life for the sheep. There are many more sheep than you can see here, and I will bring them as well. They will hear my voice, and the flock will be united. One flock, one shepherd. The Father loves me because I am willing to lay down my life, but I will take it up again. My life cannot be taken away by anybody else. I am giving it of my own free will. My authority allows me to give my life and to take it again. All this has been commanded by my Father. The Jews asked, "How long are you going to keep us guessing? If you are God's anointed, the liberating King, announce it clearly." Jesus said, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works I am doing in my Father's name tell the truth about me. You do not listen. You lack faith because you are not my sheep. My sheep respond as they hear my voice. I know them intimately, and they follow me. I give them a life that is unceasing, and death will not have the last word. Nothing or no one can steal them from my hand. My Father has given the flock to me, and he is superior to all beings and things. No one is powerful enough to snatch the flock from my Father's hand."
Thank you. It's good to hear the reading of God's word, more than just one or two verses. It's good to hear it in its context. Ezekiel gets a message from God. Ezekiel is a priest. He is a shepherd of Israel. He gets his job evaluation, he and his cohorts. It's not a good one. They are being irresponsible under-shepherds. Their concern is only to protect and nourish themselves. They've not sought out the weak. They don't bring back the strays. They don't look for the lost. They lead with neglect. They rule with harshness. They shepherd with cruelty. There are no real shepherds. And so obviously the flock has to flee and scatter. God steps forward and says, "I am the true shepherd. I will search for my sheep. I will seek them out. I will feed them with good pasture. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the stray. I will be the judge between the sheep and the sheep. Israel's failures and rebellion was due at least to part to the false shepherds. I love this phrase by K. Arthur. It says, if sheep do not have constant care of a shepherd, they will go the wrong way, unaware of the dangers at hand. They have been known to nimble themselves right off the side of a mountain. And so, because sheep are sheep, they need shepherds to care for them. The welfare of the sheep depends solely upon the care they get from the shepherd. Therefore, the better the shepherd, the healthier the sheep. Too many leaders act as if the sheep, their people, are there for the benefit of the shepherd, not that the shepherd has responsibility for the sheep. God puts Jesus as the good shepherd. But Jesus said that when he left, he would not leave us without shepherds. And in Ephesians, our scripture reading, the passage, he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. I love this in the New Living Translation. These are the gifts that Christ gave to the church. Plain and simple. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of the Lord's Son, God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. So a shepherd, a pastor, a minister, a priest, these are gifts that God has given to who? To the priest, to the minister, to the shepherd? No, to the flock, to the church. So what kind of person can serve as a pastor in a congregation? Peter says, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but being eager to serve. Ellen White wrote, and we have compiled a book of her sayings just for ministers, testimonies to ministers and gospel workers. And I went through and I found six main focuses that what a pastor is to do, what a minister is to do, what an under-shepherd is to do. They are to feed the flock. The primary function of a pastor is to feed the flock the Word of God. They're to love the flock. No congregation will follow a pastor very far if they're convinced that he loves them, that he does not love them, and that they can trust him. They are to lead the flock. A congregation that's not being well-fed will wander and scatter. It's the responsibility of a pastor to seek and share the plan or the vision for God that God has for that church. They're to keep the flock together. One of the most challenging functions of a pastor is to keep the flock together. They do this by tending the flock. The Lord is our shepherd. His work is our lives. And it's pictured in Psalms 23. It's a good example of how to tend the flock. And yes, a pastor, a minister must protect the flock. A pastor not only deals with sheep, he must deal with the wolves. The Seventh-day Adventist Church has worked itself in the last 2 or 3 years on trying to educate their pastors. What does a church pastor look like? How are we trained? What are we to do? Because the thought is, by some pastors, I can just be the pastor. I know what I want to do. And some sheep have messages that, well, we want a pastor to be like this, and we want one to be like this. And this isn't the same flock, by the way. And so what happens when the flock disagrees even amongst itself? And so the mission of the ministerial department of the Seventh-day Adventist Church in North America is to empower the ministerial community for leading churches to reach their world for Christ with hope and wholeness. We talked about this morning in our Sabbath school lesson of mission statements are what guide an organization. It helps us keep true to our mission. Pastors are the most effective in the mission who are proficient in identifiable core qualities of ministry. These qualities serve as a benchmark for professional growth from the initial call through undergraduate and Master of Divinity education, internship, and even through continuing education. And so, have our deacons at this time, I'm going to have you pass out those two things that I gave you. Or they have? Yeah. I'm going to give you a handout. Don't want to really spend too much time in the details on this, but I do want you to see that under-shepherds are being held responsible. We are being counseled. We are being held accountable. I want you to look at the middle of all of these traits. This is what a under-shepherd does, is the character. The character of that shepherd is what is the most important thing. Foundational quality is allowing the character of Christ to be formed in us and modeled through personal integrity that aligns with biblical ideas. And there are some different categories under each there. Put check marks. Does my pastor do this? This is the pastor that I'm looking for to come to our church in Norco. Is this what I am looking for? These are things, and there's quite a list of them. Sense is a call from God. Passionate for God. Follows God's leading. Loyal to the mission and the fundamental beliefs of the church. Humble. Impartial. Inspires trust. Emotionally mature. Stands firm for biblical, moral, and ethical practices. Takes initiative. Sacrificial spirit. Another core quality is evangelism. Pastors are skilled and passionate about making disciples and helping people accept and internalize and share in the vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ and the Seventh-day Adventist message. Leadership. They build a church vision and equip members to learn, to grow, and serve. Now, some of these things we know, but it's a good thing for us to also learn. What does a pastor do? These are what a pastor is to do. This is what we are to look for in our under-shepherds. In worship, they facilitate an enriched corporate worship experience that brings people into the presence of God. It's not about them, it's about the flock, bringing the collectiveness of the flock together with passionate preaching. Christ-centered sermons that are interesting, instructive, and inspire spiritual growth. Management, yes, the shepherds have to do some form of management. They execute responsibilities in a timely and well-organized fashion. And there are a list of job descriptions right there. Scholarships. Pastors diligently and carefully study the Bible and professional resources for a continued personal growth in Christ. And lastly, pastors relate well to others regardless of faith, age, ethnicity, personality, or gender. But can't just anybody be a pastor? Why should we be so picky? Well, let me try to do it the best way is when you go and see a doctor, what do you look for in a doctor? John Harvey Kellogg was the first physician in our Seventh-day Adventist community of faith. He graduated from a 5-month course in New Jersey. He created and administered the largest and most famous healthcare facility in the world, Battle Creek Sanitarium. But he did this with a 5-month training to be a doctor. Now, question, are you going to go and have surgery or be diagnosed with a doctor who has been in school for 5 months? Now, it was good back then, That was the norm. That was the standard. And so therefore, doctors went that way. Ellen White reached this dilemma in Loma Linda. There were those who said, no, you don't need training to be a doctor. God will equip you. You do it. Ellen stood firm. We need to train our doctors. We need to have them to be certified, to be able to be licensed. And so it's important to have training. Today's physicians spend an average of 10 years training for the job. 4 years of medical school, residency, fellowships that last between 3 and 8 years. And oh, by the way, this is 4 years after college. And it costs a lot of money. I couldn't find how much it costs for John Harvey Kellogg to go to that program in New Jersey. But I don't think it was very much. Today, you add in the time and cost it takes to pay off medical school debts. It's $1 million for a doctor to be trained. Just the education, $419,000. And so why? Because you want a doctor who knows what he's doing. You want a doctor who she is up to date on the latest medication. She knows what doesn't work and what has side effects. You want that kind of doctors. You know, minister training is exactly the same thing. Here's what a minister in the early Seventh-day Adventist Church, this is the training and qualification. No formal training needed. All that was needed was to raise up a congregation. That's it. That's the only training. Look today. Today, after 4 years of college, ministers complete 3 more years of seminary training. The standard today for the Seventh-day Adventist Church for our community of faith is a Master's of Divinity. That's where all Seventh-day Adventist pastors are going. Even those who have become and have been ordained but don't have the professional training, they are now going back to school. There are 26 pastors from the Central California Conference right now who are training long distance through La Sierra University, the Divinity School at HMS Richards, to have their credentials raised. But pastor school, that's easy, right? They just go and all they do is read the Bible. You have to have 136 units. That's 1,360 hours of classwork. That's more than an RN. That is equivalent, the same as lawyers. The 3 years, a jurisprudence, 3 years. Costs. It costs $97,000. To train a pastor now. The discounted cost is $41,000. That's what the pastor pays, the student pays. The church has invested, and the church, through our offerings, helps pay those other things. Well, what does a pastor learn in school? What do you do? 4 units of research and writing, 8 units of biblical language, 16 units of biblical studies, 8 units of Old Testament, 8 units of New Testament, including interpretation, how to interpret the text. 8 units of Christian ethics, 16 units of Christian theology, 8 units of the history of Christianity, 12 units of Seventh-day Adventist studies, 4 units of world religions, 56 units of practical learning, practical ministries. Oh, and 12 more units of religious electives on your own. That's a lot of training. Yes, because God, the true shepherd, wants his under-shepherds to reflect his character so that we can tell the difference between a wolf in shepherd's clothing and a true under-shepherd. 10 things. That church members desire in a pastor. This is taken from a survey of 600 churches. The number one, and these are in order of their ranking. The first thing that they want the love of a congregation. If we know that our pastor loves us, everything else falls in place. If he doesn't, nothing else matters. Effective preaching. I don't have any expectation that my preacher to be one of the best in the world. I just want to know that he spent time in the Word each week to teach us effectively and consistently. Have a strong character. No pastor's perfect, but I do want a pastor whose character is above reproach on moral, family, and financial issues. Have a good work ethic. I don't want a workaholic pastor or a lazy pastor. And unfortunately, our two last pastors have been obviously lazy. This is from their survey. It casts a vision. Our church has so much possibility. I want to hear what we can do to make a difference in our community and the world. Demonstrates a healthy leadership. Most of the pastors in my church have demonstrated a good balance. There have been strong leaders, but not dictators. I wish all churches could say that. Joyous. Our current pastor is a man of joy. His joy and enthusiasm is contagious. I love him for that. Does not yield to critics. I know that every pastor serving today has his critics, and I know it's tough to deal with them. I just want these pastors to know that we are supporters. We are the majority. Please don't let the minority critics dictate how you lead and serve. Transparent. You see, every pastor that I've had has been open and transparent about the church and direction that we're headed. It sure has made our church healthier. Models evangelism, number 10. Our pastor is passionate about sharing the gospel. His heart and attitude is contagious. Those are good things to have about pastors. And everybody loves their pastors, right? Everybody does. Unfortunately, there are pastor abusers. When sheep attack their shepherds, I like the cartoon on the bottom the best. That sheep is letting that shepherd know. You see, it's not easy being a pastor. It's not easy being a shepherd. I gave you a handout on some ministerial statistics. The ones that were in the yellow are frightening. They're terrible. In the United States alone, approximately 1,500 pastors leave the ministry every month. 80% of pastors in America believe ministry negatively affects their family. 70% of pastors in America feel that they don't have a close friend. 40% of pastors say they have a serious conflict with a church member at least once a month. So what does this mean for us here at Norco? We find ourselves at the moment without a pastor, without an under-shepherd. I want us to know and rejoice that we don't have a hireling right now. Pastor Dupree, Elder Dupree, has a under-shepherd with a under-shepherd's heart, and we can be blessed. But we're going to be looking for a pastor in the future. The conference is going to come to us. They're going to give us some suggestions. More importantly, they want to hear from us of things that we want. What do we need? What are the needs of the flock here in Norco? We're all not going to agree. But as a flock, we need to agree on one thing, that God calls His under-shepherds. And if we pray that God send for us at Norco the pastor, not necessarily that our preference and desires are for, but what our need is. What our need is for the community. What does God have us to do? What does it mean for us today? I just want to show you 20 of my own. If I had to leave things for you, this is what I would hope that we would find in a pastor. Someone who is there, a follower of Jesus Christ. They're willing to deny themselves. They're submissive to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. They possess and practice discipline in their lives. They read the Word of God and good books continuously. They seek, ask for, and use God's wisdom. They are sincere and deeply care. They have godly friends and stay accountable. They know how to forgive. They find their acceptance in Christ. They pray for others. They help others succeed. They know the difference between ambition and vision. They are able to articulate vision. They possess a sense of urgency for God's work. They stand on strong convictions. They're kind. They have a growing love for Jesus Christ. They love their family and they love their local church. Christ will not leave us shepherdless. This promise in Jeremiah, I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. The same shepherd that Jeremiah talked about wants the sheep in Horsetown, USA, to know that he loves and cares for them. He has a mission, a vision for our flock, not just in a worldwide vision, not just in a Seventh-day Adventist vision, but in a community vision. How are we to be the light and salt to our community? God will take care of His own. That is important for us to remember. God will take care. God will provide. You know, there are 2 days in a congregation when pastors make everybody happy. For some, it's the day that they arrive, and for others, it's the day they leave. But again, if we look at the gift and realize it's a gift from God, it's what God wants for us. Do I want what God wants for me? Something for us to think about. Let's take our hymn books and turn to hymn number 623. I will follow thee, my Savior. And I would just like to, in accordance with the talk about sheep following each other, let's change the words to this wonderful hymn to we will follow thee, our Savior. Hymn number 623.